So I'm now joined by Charles, who I'm going to get to introduce yourself in a second. But really quickly, we're at the Recruitment Expo today. We're conducting a few mini podcast interviews to get people's wisdom on a couple of questions that I put together. So before I hit you with some questions, Charles, you want to introduce yourself for those that may not know who you are?
No worries. So I'm Charles Kiriakou. I run a coaching organization, Charles Kiriakou Coaching. Been self-employed now for about 3 to 4 months. Been in the recruitment sector for about 10 years, doing 8 years of sales and leadership, 2 years of L&D. Loving what I do.
Let's go. Right. First question I got for you then, because you know there's no way you're doing what you're doing without being really passionate about the industry. I'm extremely passionate about changing the perception of our industry, and I think one of the ways that we can move the needle on that is having better trained people. But from your perspective, if there was one thing that you could change about the recruitment industry that you feel would, you know, move the needle on changing the perception, what would that be for you?
Recruitment is an unregulated industry, right? You don't need a qualification to get into recruitment. I was fortunate, I've done an apprenticeship and done a level 2 NVQ in sales, but a lot of people get into recruitment from straight out of university or whatever. I think if you really want to change the perception of recruitment, if you really want to change the sector as a whole, I don't know whether actually incorporating a recruitment qualification to get into the industry makes sense. Mm. But how many recruitment agencies have consultants that don't have training? How many people have got a negative perception of recruiters because of the negative experience they've had with an agency that have called them with false promises or used cowboy techniques? So I think there needs to be some form of regulation where it's kind of, I don't know whether it's optional, again, I'm thinking out loud here, but something that says like, we are an organization that have a regulation around the training, like just some core sort of values that everyone in recruitment needs to abide to. If we have people like myself and you know, companies like yourself that has the you know, have like your trading platform, and recruiters can put on their LinkedIn profile that I'm an accredited recruiter, and then clients can then go at recruitment organisations and they have like, we are, you know, an accredited recruitment company, our consultants have had accredited recruitment training, can start changing the whole industry in respects to these people are trained on the core values and a proper way of doing recruitment. I think that would be hugely, hugely beneficial.
Yeah, I think that'd be unreal. Right, so let me ask you this then. So something that you help a lot of recruiters with is something that a lot of people struggle with. So I want to get your perspective on it from a BD standpoint. So I'd love to get your take on, if I was to say to you over the last like 6 or so months, what have you found to be consistently the most effective channel or way that you've seen recruiters get good at acquiring new clients? Like, what does that look like from your perspective? Yeah.
What you just said there about what's the single best, I don't think there is a single best, if I'm honest with you. I think the best recruiters are, they use every aspect of business development. So if you think about all the digital touch points and everything like that, the best recruiters will attack their client from every single angle possible. I worked for an organization where we targeted people on 100 BD calls a day, similar to like what I done when I first got into recruitment. I don't think that works anymore. I've worked with recruitment organizations that have no KPIs and no cool metrics at all. And they basically do pure social selling where it's just like purely LinkedIn and they pride themselves on everything inbound. I don't think that works for every recruitment agency. I think it's very dependent on the sector that you work in, but I think that you've got to do every digital touch point. So for example, for me, when I set my business up, the first month or so, branding and marketing, I was very, very consistent on LinkedIn. You and I spoke about this, and I was posting 3 to 6 days a week. Content that was valuable to my market, giving free stuff basically to my market, and then connecting with as many people as possible. As soon as those people connected with me, I made it my like mission to go, right, thank you very much for connecting with me. I'm going to be really active on LinkedIn. What types of things would you like to see? Not salesy whatsoever. As soon as they've done that, they engage with me because no one really wants, well, not many people want to engage with someone that's immediately selling them something, right? So then they engage a little bit and then you tag them in the next post or whatever. Find out different exhibitions people are going to, like I'm here today, I'm meeting a lot of clients. Find out where people are based, try and meet them face to face. Networking was probably one of the biggest things possible. Offering free value, so over email, I work with Sourcewell, I put together an email campaign where I gave a lot of recruitment businesses free material and saying, look, a lot of your consultants will probably have an issue with dealing with objections. Here's an objection handling cheat sheet. Let me know how that goes. I'm happy to come in and, you know, I mean, from a recruitment consultant's perspective, going and doing free stuff, I mean, technically you do that on a contingent basis, but from my perspective, I was doing a bit of free coaching and training and that really, really worked. I'm kind of going around the horses here, but ultimately you've got to do everything. You've got to master your cold calling and ask fantastic questions. You've got to network like absolute crazy. You've got to be really consistent with your branding. And one of the major, major things that I've noticed a lot of recruitment businesses have utilized is find unbelievable candidates, qualify the living hell out of them, and make sure that they want to work with just you and take them to market and be strategic with what you're going to do. As you know, I can talk forever, so I'll stop there.
Multi-channel approach. 100%.
Yeah, basically.
That is absolutely what it's about, and I couldn't agree more. And then by doing that, you can figure out what's working, what isn't, what you need to get better at. So let me ask you this then. I'm very no KPIs, because I feel like everyone that does say that then finishes a sentence saying, but we then have KPIs, basically, but in the word in a different way. I feel like there's no recruiter that wouldn't want to know and understand like how they can be successful. Yep. And I think when they're done right, their success metrics, you can reverse engineer on what you need to do to hit your business target. So from your point of view, what is the most important metric as a recruiter I should be measuring that you feel like really helps me understand if I track this and I'm doing well with it, it should mean I get the outcome that I want? What are the really important metrics from your standpoint?
Besides the core metrics, which is, your CVs, interviews, and jobs, I would say your job to placement ratio is huge, and I'd say your offer to placement ratio. I work with a business at the moment that when I got in, their major pain point was that they've lost 40 grand's worth of business in Q1. And that was, by the way, that was start of February that I started working with them. So in basically just January, they couldn't close 40 grand's worth of business. And it turns out it's because the candidates weren't qualified correctly, right? Mm. So if we look at that and we try and reverse engineer that, we can go, okay, well, let's put some processes in place, qualify these candidates, find out the bad news, and then when we get to offer stage, we'll understand their reasons for leaving, their need and their pain points, and hopefully we're not going to have any offers drop out. In just a month of working with them, they've had no counter offer accepted, they've had no deals fall out of bed, and it's predominantly because we looked at that offer to placement ratio, like you were saying, reverse engineered it and gone, right, it was actually the candidate issue, and worked on the candidate qualification. The second one, I think I see you talk about this a lot on LinkedIn, is about the job to placement ratio. Yeah. There's no point bringing on seven jobs and getting on a PSL and they're not doing any bloody deals with them, right? I got on a PSL for a company called Olympus. They're a huge surgical organization, medtech. I think we've done two deals with them over the course of about 9 months. And in the end, we emailed them and said, we want to be off the PSL. Mm. It turns out it's because we're working with a talent coordinator. We need to work with hiring managers. So, and then we looked at the companies we're working with directly with hiring managers and going, hang on a minute, we're taking four jobs on with them and doing four deals.
That's solid, right. So let's round it out then. Obviously, a lot of the things that you're helping or you found you're helping recruiters with is the BD element.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a few things there, multi-channel approach, these types of things, measuring the right metrics. We want one thing, what have you found to be, if you think about, I'm listening to this right now, I want to get more out of my BD. If there was one thing that I could implement tomorrow when I'm at my desk that you feel could, the net positive would be I get more out of my BD activity, what would that one thing be from your perspective?
I think, okay, I'll give you something that I think has worked with the clients I've worked with recently. I sit down and they want the all singing, all dancing, give me all the techniques, how do I do this, how do I do that? And I go, well, what's your strategy? And you know me, I'm a very simple-minded person. I don't like overly complicated stuff. And when people talk about business plan and strategy, my brain goes, whoa, how do we simplify it, right? And every single consultant I've worked with so far, when I ask them that question, they go, and they don't give me an answer. Mm. So what we've done is we basically said, right, who are your top dream clients and why? Okay, well, I want to work with startups. Like for me, I want to work with startups and I want to work with companies that have got really good similar values to me, they've got a good social presence, et cetera, et cetera. Cool. So I've built a list of 10 of those and there's going to be at least 2 to 3 points of contact. So if I get 10 companies with 2 to 3 points of contact that are my dream clients that may or may not be hiring, that's 30 BD calls that I can make, right? Mm-hmm. The second thing I'll do is I would then go be strategic in terms of who's actively hiring right now. So every single candidate call I make, I want to make sure that I can get one crucial bit of information. Is your current company hiring? Who do you know in the market is hiring? Why did you leave your existing job? Who's just left your current team? As many different types of leads. So then I build a list of a minimum of 10 companies I know for a fact are currently hiring. Then map out who are 2 to 3 very, very good decision makers, points of contact that I can approach. So let's think, if I got 10 companies I know are hiring now and 10 companies that are in my ICP that I think I really want to work with them, there's 60 points of contact there that I can reach out to. Once we build that, then we can start working on things like calling techniques, openers, different types of questions and sales techniques and all the rest of it. But I think for people, if they're listening to this, the first thing that you've got to do is build your short-term list and your long-term list and then start working on tactics and things like that. Without the strategy and without a reason for calling them, you're going to lose.
Yeah, I love that. So again, have a plan. It's crazy how many people don't have a plan, right? So yeah, take a step back, take some time to be on your desk, to then go back into it, but then hopefully be more effective with a plan. But Charles, thanks for joining me.
That's awesome.
And keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.